Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Time to play with pain, where sports and inaccuracy collide. Now, here's your host, veteran sportscaster, and the voice of the International Speed Fishing Championships, Chet Waterhouse.
Yeah, brother! Hello again, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. My guest today, hilarious stand-up comic with a dream come true story about hanging with the Denver Broncos, Brad Williams. Talk about fantasy football. Brad will take us through it step by step. But first, let me thank the folks that sponsor this podcast for real. Starburns, great animation, great podcast, great anything funny. We got Fiery Four coming up, and of course, I got a new segment I'm going to feature, Who Said It? And as always, before we get to Brad Williams, time for the Waterhouse Update, brought to you by Base Brawl, the newest sport from the fine folks at UFC. NFL playoffs, Titans slapped the Patriots like an Italian grandma testing cantaloupes. Pats forced now to spend time with their families. Ouch. And hey, no more half price at Orchids of Asia. Two overtimes. Both went longer than the Golden Globes. Houston snuck by Buffalo like a cop leaving a church pew. And the Vikings decanonized the Saints. On Bourbon Street, garlic potatoes were flown at half mashed. Seahawks pecked the eyes right out of the Eagles. Jadavian Clown he speared Carson Wentz in the head harder than a blind barber with brush clippers. Refs admitted they were afraid to call a penalty on anyone named Jadavian. Wentz rushed to Philly's Cheesesteak Medical Center, where he was treated with melted cheddar and onions and released. And finally, Cowboys Jason Garrett fired. Garrett will now return to modeling dad clothes at Marshall's. Cowboys hire Mike McCarthy, said Jerry Jones. Let's see how this paper plane flies. That wrap-up sponsored by Bill O'Reilly's Auto Parts. Fuck it! We'll fix it now at Bill O'Reilly Auto Parts. College football national championship! Fire up the proxy test takers. It's LSU versus Clemson. They're virtually tied at number one in offensive stats and at number 79 for GPA entrance requirements. LSU scores more than Brad Pitt at the Golden Globes Uber stand. But Clemson, like a fat German in a hot tub, they just keep coming at you. And finally, Rose Bowl. Wisconsin ran out of feet to shoot itself in and lost to Oregon 28-27. That wrap-up sponsored by Acetaminophen. Blow the aspirin right into your face with Acetaminophen. And finally, this week in sports history, the year 1681. The place, Pulborough, England. The first ever boxing match took place featuring the Duke of Albemarle's butler versus his butcher. The butler was knocked out in round one when he was blinded by his own starched collar. The undercard featured the Duchess of Albemarle versus her disgruntled chambermaid. That Waterhouse Update brought to you by Migraine, the all-natural headache pill made from wheat. Now it's talk time. My guest today, great stand-up comic, co-host with Adam Ray of the White Hot Podcast About Last Night, and a man with a fantasy that'll bring a tear to dedicated football fans who'll follow a game even while at a funeral, Brad Williams. Brad, how are you today?
Doing fantastic. And also breaking sports news, which I will present to you, Chet Waterhouse.
Oh, yes.
Tua Tagovailoa.
Oh, that's right. He's going pro.
He's going. He's leaving Alabama. The people of Alabama shocked that someone with the last name of Tungavailoa doesn't want to hang out in Alabama.
Didn't find it comfortable in a place called Tuscaloosa. Yeah. Same number of vowels, totally different headspace.
Exactly.
Well, good luck to that young kid. He's got a bright young future for him, and he's got a kid brother who's moving right into his footsteps there in Alabama.
Exactly, and I have a feeling that the people of Alabama won't know the difference.
Yeah, they won't, and they won't care. And unless one of them...
You want a damn Tungo Valtrex kids?
Yeah. Unless one of them comes along named Bobby Lou, I think they're just going to let him slide by on the last name. You're a lifelong Broncos fan, Brad Williams. How did this happen? You're from Orange, California, Orange County, the heart of Orange County. Yeah. The place is named Orange.
You're right.
Is that it? Is it the color connection?
No, I'm a Broncos fan because my dad went to Stanford University, and he wanted us to support a football team that had a Stanford-led quarterback. That gave us two options. That gave us John Elway with the Denver Broncos and Jim Plunkett with the Oakland Raiders, and since I wasn't born with face tattoos or priors, I became a Denver Broncos fan. And once your team is your team, that's your team. You can't
change
them.
You're one of those guys. That's it.
That's it.
You're locked in for life.
That's it. Thankfully, I got a team that's won three Super Bowls in my lifetime and not, let's say, the New York Jets.
Yeah, exactly. And so you had to carry this through Sunny Hills High School.
Oh, unfortunately,
this had to be a bit of a burden.
Sure.
Fighting other Lancers.
That is the school mascot.
Yes.
The Lancer.
The Lancer.
Which I know sounds like one of those terms where it's like, oh, if you're gay, you could be a bear. You could be an otter.
Yeah, right.
You could also be a Lancer. Like,
right,
you could be like, oh, yeah, you'll get along with him great. He's a Lancer.
He's a Lancer.
That just sounds like a guy with a really... big hog.
Yeah,
just
it really
he's
does.
A Lancer.
It's a tough high school nickname, unless you're fighting the Marina Del Rey Boils. Then you can lance them.
Yes,
and you
exactly.
got something going on. So that's the connection. Your dad, a Stanford grad, makes you vote for somebody with a cheer for somebody with a Stanford QB.
Yes.
So he becomes Elway, your childhood hero.
Yes.
And
I remember one time even, and this is how. This is how deep it goes. My dad, I was getting not the best grades in school. My dad said,
Shaker.
"Hey, if you get some good grades, we'll go out and we'll see John Elway play." And I busted my hump and got some good grades. And so we flew out to Denver and got to see John Elway play. And I still have a program from the game. He played the Arizona Cardinals. He won on a typical.
Kurt Warner Cardinals?
No.
That was
I don't even know. That was pre-Jake Plummer Cardinals. That
good
was,
Lord.
That may have been the Rod Tidwell Cardinals from
yeah.
back in the day.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was the Sonny Jurgensen Arizona Cardinals.
Yes. So, it was a thrilling game and one of the best memories of my childhood. I have an Elway signed jersey that was over my bed my entire life as a kid and is now in my home now. So yeah, John Elway was the hero.
With some luck, your wife has moved it from over the bed.
Well, that's how I finish. Is
that's
I,
it.
Is, I,
you
I,
need
I look
to. Oh,
up,
yeah.
Yeah, and I see the Elway sure. jersey. There's the jersey. There's a die-cast model of his
sure.
of his teeth, and that just puts me over the edge.
That's a touching coming-of-age story.
Yeah.
Brought to you by Burlap Skimpy Lingerie. The less there is, the less it itches. For her lap, try Burlap. And damn it, the world's most frustrating board game. So you eschewed the running back.
Terrell Davis. Yeah, Terrell Davis.
And anybody shorter than Elway on the team, even though you may have had a kinship with a shorter person. You went right for Elway.
Yeah.
The dad thing was too strong.
Yeah. And this is back in the days of the three amigos, Mark Jackson, Vance Johnson, Sammy Winder, Carl Mecklenburg. Like, since those Bronco teams, that's when I get involved. And thankfully, through stand-up comedy, I get to travel all over the country. I have been to Denver many times.
Great comedy city.
Fantastic comedy city. And many of the Denver Broncos have become familiar with me. I have a signed ball from Mark Jackson. I'm friends with Ed McCaffrey and Rod Smith.
Wow.
But they've come to the shows. I'm actually friends with Ed's son, Christian, who may just be the MVP this year.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if they'll give it to someone from a team that floundered a bit, but he sure has the stats.
Personally, I think Taysom Hill should be the MVP.
Yeah, why not?
They put him in at everything. What other player is a running back, wide receiver, quarterback, tight end? He tackles on special teams. He's a Swiss Army knife. He's unreal.
He's a surprise. Yeah, I call it the white kid factor.
It does help.
Because they put him in the game, and everybody on the defense goes, "Well, he's not getting there. They're not giving the ball to him.
Yeah, it's like
they're not going to do anything with him.
Yeah. It's like
end around. Oh, he'll score.
Whoa, wide open. The white guy. Who knew?
How did that happen?
So I've got to know a few of the Denver Broncos, but John Elway was always the white whale. He was always the one that I would kind of was like, oh, one day I'll meet John Elway.
And, so then you wind up, it's his birthday, and he has a Christmas party. And they throw a big Christmas party,
yep.
And you wind up performing there. How'd you get that gig?
The representative for the John Elway Motor Company, he owns four or five car dealerships out in Denver and then one out here in Ontario, California. Shout out to John Elway Motors. You'll see why I'm shouting them out in a second. They came to see one of my shows in Denver. I talk about my Bronco fandom on stage in Denver, and he says, well, why don't you come out and perform at the Christmas party? We have a band. We have a, you know, let's try comedy. So we do that. I get hired.
That guy's a great lead-in.
Yeah.
Hey, that makes you feel good. Hey, this year, let's try comedy.
Yeah, we'll try comedy. We'll see if that works. You know? And
at the Christmas party.
Now, I have talked to, and I know you're good friends with famed stand-up comedian Jeff Cesario.
And
him and I have talked about the horrors that are corporate gigs.
Oh,
in
yeah,
the
corporates
world of comedy.
And private. They can be deadly.
Yeah. So
they can be like when you say, hey, do you have any sort of lighting focus? And they just give you a blank stare.
Yeah, they go, what?
Yeah. So they can be brutal, but you get there.
Yeah, I get the gig, and they tell me, they say Elway always shows up to these things, so you're probably gonna meet him, and I'm already nervous. I almost didn't take the gig because you're like,
yeah,
I don't want to meet your heroes, you know, I don't want to ruin
it.
But I take the gig. I fly out there, and I'm just kind of sitting at my table in the back waiting for all the festivities to go, and all of a sudden, in walks the GOAT. In walks John Elway with presents and his lovely wife, Paige. His wife, Paige, a former Raider cheerleader. So even in retirement, Elway still fucks the Raiders.
Exactly.
I love that.
Just sticking it to him.
Yeah. So
by sticking it to her.
So Elway comes in, and the guy that hires me for this gig calls me over, and he goes, hey, come meet John. John, this is our comedian for tonight, Brad Williams.
And this is a fragile moment, because this can go as bad as Antonio Brown on a triple macho. You don't know which way this is going to go.
Right, and because you don't want to be the person that is overly enthused. Like,
right.
I don't want to spew my fandom all in one sitting.
Did you meet him before the set or after the set?
Before the set.
Ooh, that's so, even more pressure.
Yes, because now he doesn't know I'm funny.
Right.
He doesn't know I'm good at my job yet.
Yeah.
So I tried to keep it very simple. Tried to keep it very civil. Just say, hey, I'm a big fan. And then I look at him and go, hey, you were on a radio show last week where someone told you about a stand-up comedian who was actually naming his daughter, his unborn daughter, Elway. And he goes, yeah, I remember that. And I go, yeah, that's me.
Wow.
Because I am.
You're naming the kid Elway.
Yeah.
That's a pretty name. If you can divorce it from, you know.
Losing three Super Bowls, but focus on winning two, and then one is a GM, and then hopefully she doesn't have his teeth.
That's a lot of arc for a kid to have to digest just for a name.
Yeah, and the fact that she's going to walk around my house and see Elway jerseys all over the walls and be like, you got to live up to that. So I tell him that, and he's real taken aback by it, and he's like, wow, well, that's really cool. And I go, well, I just hope that I can entertain you tonight, and I'll be good, you know, and we'll have a good time with the show. So they do some presentations, and then Then they bring me on stage, and here I go, and the lights are brought up. I demanded it because, much like we talked about, the lights were fucking horrible for comedy.
Sure, of course.
So I fixed it. And
surprised they had anything beyond a 1920s collegiate megaphone for your sound system.
Hey guys, have you heard the one about air travel? Air travel?
Yeah.
How much money do you have here at the Bronx?
So I go on stage. Now, I have done shows with my parents in the audience where I'm doing dirty sex jokes. That never bothered me.
That didn't bother you.
Let me tell you how much.
Well, look, for a guy whose Elway's teeth pushes him over the edge, I can understand there'd be no embarrassment at all on the sexual front.
But now I'm looking out in the audience, and my childhood hero, the man who I have posters on my wall as a kid and to this day, is sitting in the very front row, table number 7, of course. And
sure.
He's right there. So every time I look straight ahead, there's John in a tux. But I do my set, and the joke that did the best was I looked at John from the stage and said, John, I've told you this, but for all you other people in the audience, I'm actually naming my daughter Elway. That's going to be her name. And then I looked at John. I go, hey, please don't fuck up the name. Please just don't don't fuck up the name. Like, because you know, and I said,
sure.
Because you know, there's some guy out there that was like, hey, this is my son, and he's not my favorite comic. Say hello, Cosby.
Sure.
That would fuck up the name. And
exactly.
That got a nice laugh in the room. John was very appreciative. I finish up my set, and I say, thank you guys, good night. And the room gives a standing ovation. John Elway is giving me a standing ovation, and I'm just sitting there like, oh man, oh God, this is. I think a little pee came out. It was weird.
First of all, that part of it brought to you by Smirks, the lemony sarcastic breath mint, and Creme de Hay for a great tasting aperitif at half the price. Try Creme de Hay. So you crush the set.
Yeah.
Elway standing, big ovation, and then you go, all right, I'm going to push it. See what I can get out of this.
He calls me over.
Are you kidding me?
He says, come over. Let's hang out for a bit. So, and
that's beautiful.
That's the thing is I wanted him to see me do well.
Who doesn't?
In comedy, just so he goes, this is a guy I can
– He's legit.
I can respect.
He's done his reps. I've seen his 40 times.
Yeah. So I walk over there, and John and I just start talking. Talk about football, talk about – growing up, he's a Southern California boy as well. I start throwing some questions at him that let him know, like, this guy is a legit fan, you know. And then I brought with me a jersey and a ball, and I kind of presented it to him, like, hey, you know, I brought this. He goes, I'll sign it for you, no problem. He signs the jersey, he signs the ball, and then as he's signing the ball, I go, would it be too much to say, can I go out for a pass? He goes, go out for a pass. And I'm like, oh, God.
So that's the confidence fueled by a good set.
Yes. It'll get me. Absolutely. It'll be like, I'm on equal ground with the legend that is John Elway. So I run out, and I have a friend videotape it. The video is on my Instagram. John Elway throws me a pass. Now, thankfully, he didn't go full Elway.
Oh, man.
Because
he didn't even go half Elway.
No. Because I think
that
guy's
still got a cannon.
Oh, if he went full Elway, there would be a Brad-sized Who Framed Roger Rabbit hole in the side of the wall. Just
would be significantly shorter than you are.
Yes.
If he went full Elway on you.
Yes. He threw me a
pass. I had a friend who once said
stuff. It was great.
Yeah. These guys, incredible athletes like that. A friend who once said, you know, Mike Tyson could hit you in the shoulder and knock you out.
Yes.
That's the level
of
athleticism at that height.
Yeah.
So Elway, he can still fling. So he tosses you a pass. You
toss
catch it.
Pass. Catch it, thank
beautiful,
God.
Beautiful, beautiful.
And then at the Christmas party, the band kicks in. And him and his wife and his daughter and her husband all go out on the dance floor, and then they kind of motion me over. I'm like, I'm about to be in a dance circle with John Elway.
Yeah, and how weird is the rest of the night going to get after that? There's a fivesome.
Sure. So we go there, and we're in the dance circle. Now, I don't know if you know this about me, Chet Waterhouse, but I can cut quite the rug.
Wow, I believe it. Yeah. You know, you look like you're dainty on your feet.
Yeah.
You're light on your feet.
Yeah. You know, so I start break dancing. I can break dance, so that makes the place go nuts.
Oh, that's crazy.
And John calls me over and he goes, "Hey, what are you doing tomorrow?" And I go, "Well, I'm supposed to fly home to the pregnant wife that's about to give birth to little Elway." And he goes, "Oh, if you were staying, I would have asked you to watch the Bronco game tomorrow from my box."
Oh, brother.
And I go, "I'll be right back." And I go and I call the wife and I go, "I think I might be a day late."
Wow.
And all praise to my wife without even hesitation. She goes, "Yes, you stay. Stay
you
there.
You have to do it.
Watch the game." Like, that's what you do.
She has the foresight to realize if she says no or even hesitates, it will be held over her like the Elway poster over your bed with a sharp blade on the bottom of the frame that would cut her neck.
Entire life. So I go back to John and say, "Hey, I talked to the wife. You know, plans changed. Yeah, I can stay." He goes, "All right." So he calls over his guy and goes, "Get him two tickets in the box, you know, and you know, make sure he gets there. Give him the full treatment."
The full treatment.
And I kind of go, "Is it, as long as it's not too much trouble." And John kind of looks at me like, "Do you not know who the fuck I am? I'm John Elway.
Too much trouble.
If wherever I piss, that's a new bathroom. Like that's that's the kind of power he has.
That's impressive. I define trouble. Yeah. That's the guy I am in the organization.
Exactly. So
you go there. There's a picture of you.
Yes.
And you have the Denver Broncos' entire offensive scheme right there on Twitter.
Yeah.
You're staring at one of those plastic guards that the coaches use to hide their face when they're talking to somebody up in the booth going, "Are we getting fired this week or next week?"
Yes, exactly.
That's the plastic card you have in your hand in the photo.
Yes. I have that. They let me go there. They let me go on the field pregame and the Denver Broncos. Colorado is actually home to the Golden Knights. Now, the Golden Knights are the nation's most elite skydiving force. Those are our best skydivers. And they skydive into Broncos Stadium before every game.
That's the Army skydiving team, I believe.
So I got to be on the field to watch that. Got to watch the game in Elway's box. Got to go. Like,
were you out there
amazing.
For any warm-ups?
Yes.
And I remember this. I don't often get let into legitimate stadiums, but I was at the University of Wisconsin, and I was doing the fourth quarter call on the Badger Radio Network with Matt LaPay and Mike Lucas.
Now, and are you calling the game, calling like the Dr. Pepper chest pass challenge?
No, I don't know. First of all, I got a beef about that. Let's take a tangent on that. You got to throw the ball the way the ball is thrown in the sport.
I agree.
That's ridiculous.
You can't chest pass it into the can.
Why don't you hit it with a freaking golf club if you're going to do that? All right, that's out of the way. I was actually calling the game, although Matt and Mike were actually calling the game, and I was just kind of sneaking some things in there. But I was on the field just for warm-ups.
Sure.
And this is college kids.
Yes.
And the speed of the game was frightening.
Yes.
And I can't imagine what it must have been like to be on the field during a pro game. It's got to be lightning.
It's insanely fast, and you just think to yourself – like, you see these guys that are, you know, 6'4", 6'5", 250 of just one bicep. Like, they're just a giant muscle. Right.
They're
all
a
they
curl.
Are.
They're a huge curl.
And you see how fast they run. You go, oh, if one of those guys was running at me, I just curl up into the fetal position and die right there.
Yeah.
Like, and their mindset has to be, oh, you see that freight train coming at me? Lower your head. Like, what?
Right.
That goes against every instinct you've ever had as a human being.
Yeah, exactly.
Self-preservation goes completely out the window. So,
fight or fight harder instead of fight or flight. It's
fight
weird.
Or die. It's
anything within 40 yards of you, if it starts to move, you duck.
Yeah.
You get out of the way.
Massive.
That's how fast they move. Now, this is an incredible experience up in the box.
Yes.
And then as Elway go to you, "Hey, what are you doing tomorrow? Why don't you stick around? My wife and I are going to have a couple people out on the boat." You know, it's because it could get weird.
Well, there was some I mean, you're not too far off.
Oh, man. Brother. Yeah, I'm a soothsayer.
Yeah, he said, what are you doing after the game? And I go, well, I was just going to go, you know, going to go back to
my depressing hotel.
I'm going to go to the hotel and cry because I know that my life has peaked. That's what I was planning on doing. And he goes, well, you know, normally after the game, we go to Elway's Steakhouse. And I go,
any relation?
Do you know the owner? can we get a good table? And I go, all right, well, I guess I'm doing that. So,
man.
You go, and he was very generous where he said, get anything on the menu. And
wow, that's impressive.
And if you're ever in Denver, Elway Steakhouse, I would recommend it. It was
so
fantastic.
You kids out there, the lesson is if you don't think writing a good joke can get you somewhere, think again.
Yeah, writing a good joke got me a beautiful Asian wife who was about to give birth to my child. It paid for the house that I live in, and it got me to meet my hero, John Elway. So, yeah, I'd say writing a joke is a good life skill.
That career advice brought to you by Semi-Gloss Paint. Let some other sap risk it all on glossy. And when you want to interrupt someone without wasting valuable words, try and Dip Swaggle. Keep your mustache smelling fresh between trimmings with Dip Swaggle, now in Butter Brickle. Now, are you preparing a career in coaching if and when you're standing? Because you looked pretty good there. In that shot, you had the right angle on the field. You had the right angle with the card. You were pointing with
good.
One of those felt tip pens at a specific play.
Yeah,
did they let you call a play? Maybe because the Broncos won, right?
Yeah, the Broncos won. So I will tell you that I did call a play. It'll be a lie, but I will tell you that, and I'll take all credit and say that's just because I was there.
Oh man, go for it. You got it.
But we've now been talking. John and I have now been texting, which is the weirdest thing I've ever said in
my
life.
That's impressive. Well, maybe the fact that you're calling him John.
Yeah, me and John boy.
Johnny texted me the other day.
Me and Johnny E over out there in Denver, and we've been talking about how the fact that he's looking for a new spokesman for his John Elway Motors.
So wow! Look out, like, baby.
So if you turn on your TV and you see a 4'4" funny guy hawking Mini Coopers, that might be me. So
hey, listen, if you need any voiceover on those, I'll jump in.
Absolutely, my friend. I think you should do that. I would love to do. I mean, what better than for Chet Waterhouse,
sure.
the goat John Elway, and the comic who's the size of a football that they all do a commercial together. I see nothing wrong with this situation.
John Elway Motors. See, I can do that.
Yeah, it's easy.
Get a ball thrown at your head at John Elway Motors. Catch it, your car's free. All right, Brad Williams, killer comedian. Let's play Who Said It, comedian or football player.
Ooh, this will be good.
Hey, you ready
this
on this
good.
One? Quote number one.
Okay.
I love me some me.
I will give you the football player.
You know the football player.
That was T.O. Terrell Owens.
That's true. It is. You're 1-0. That was Terrell Owens, although it could easily been Roseanne. Yeah, who knows? Quote number two. I used to do drugs. I still do, but I used to, too.
That could be Lawrence Taylor, but I will go with a stand-up comic.
It is a stand-up comic. Yeah. Let's see if I can't give you a clue.
Richard Lewis?
No, although that's a great guess.
Okay.
Interesting one-liner-ish comic.
Stephen Wright?
No.
Mitch Hedberg.
Mitch Hedberg.
There we go.
That's it. Yeah. Quote number three. A genius is a guy like Norman Einstein. Comic or football player?
I have spent some time with some football players. That sounds like something they would say.
That is correct. Football player Joe Theismann.
Oh, he said that.
Yeah.
See,
he's a Notre Damer, too, which proves they're overrated.
Wow.
Jeez.
See, I would assume
they didn't have a science class at Notre Dame just because it's Catholic?
Yeah. I would assume that the guy that said that quote Norman Einstein was the same guy. He was a University of Miami football player when they wore the fatigues to go play. I believe it was Notre Dame.
Yes.
His quote was because they were supposed to have a pregame meal, both teams together. And they asked him, why didn't you guys show up for the pregame meal? His quote was, did the Japanese sit down and have dinner with Pearl Harbor before they bombed him? That's a quote. You can look that up. Your producer, Gary, could actually look
that up.
Impressive. And you could tell me the name of the guy.
That sounds like a real Miami guy.
That is a real quote.
I'm going to go somebody named Benny. I like that name for a football player to say something like that. Quote number four. Yeah. Is this comic or football player?
Okay.
I feel like I'm the best, but you're not going to get me to say that.
I'm going to go, because it's say that, I would go comic, and I would go Dave Chappelle.
Man, that's very close.
Ooh.
Football player.
Oh.
Jerry Rice.
Jerry Rice.
Could easily have been Bill Maher.
Yeah.
I'm the best, but you're not going to get me.
I won't say that. I'd like to have a career tomorrow.
Quote number five. If you ain't desperate at some point, you ain't interesting.
Ooh. If you ain't desperate, you ain't interesting. Great, by the way, great quote selections because because they could easily be both.
And I'll be honest, this was bleary-eyed at about 2 a.m. when I realized, oh, I don't have a researcher. I have to do this.
Yeah, if you ain't desperate, you're interesting. I'm gonna go comedian.
You're right, Jim Carrey.
There it is.
I think the desperate was a little bit of a clue there because not too many athletes are that desperate. I mean, I guess, maybe, though. Desperate to get out of their life, whatever their life
might be.
Desperate to achieve something. And
so
who knows? But that was a good one. Quote number six.
All right.
Be so good they can't ignore you.
Ah, that is a football.
That is a comic.
Oh.
Steve Martin. Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty impressive.
Damn good quotes, Steve Martin.
Yeah. Well, I think you finished 3 for 3.
Be so good that you can't ignore you from the guy that put an arrow on top of his head and went, comedy.
Exactly. But found three layers to that joke.
Yes,
that's amazing.
Exactly. That's not a knock on Steve Martin. He's a genius. His book, Born Standing Up, is probably the greatest comedy memoir ever written until our mutual friend Jeff Cesario finally writes his. He's been working on it.
First ever who said it, and we came out 3 and 3. I should probably get on an even odd number.
Well,
I didn't recognize that flaw in my pre-game analysis here.
Well,
but 3 and 3, take it.
I'll take 500, and Eli Manning's probably going to go to the Hall of Fame with a 500 record.
Yeah, sure. So. Why not? That first ever edition of Who Said It with Brad Williams, brought to you by Exasperilla, the soda that tests your patience. Now, as always, it's time for the Fiery Four.
The Fiery Four.
Brad, these are sports takes hotter than a Vespa engine doing over 60 miles an hour. Fire number one. Are the Minnesota Vikings dangerous or lucky?
Dangerous or lucky? I go dangerous. They have a quarterback that finally got over the playoff win hump.
Yeah.
Amazing when you actually do your job that they're paying you $80 million guaranteed dollars to do, and they go, "Ah, he did it,
hero!"
I tell you this: you pay me $80 million guaranteed, I'm 4 for 4. I'll find a way to win a playoff game.
Yeah, you're not going to care if they got a lighting focus or a mic at the Elway Motors Christmas party. They're paying you $80 million.
I'll do whatever it takes.
Here's my prediction.
I say they're dangerous.
They beat the 49ers,
mm-hmm.
and the Packers somehow get by the Seahawks, and then Minnesota has to go into Green Bay on January 19th in a blizzard.
That's going to be – I mean
– I hope so.
When you think of smash mouth football,
that's
going to be it.
Fire number two, could the Packers be the weakest team to make it to the Super Bowl? And if they do, are they really that weak? When do they get credit for being scrappy, going 13-3?
It's tough to say that the team that has the skills of the best quarterback in the league is the weakest team.
Yeah.
But
– Yeah, they're looking – they're looking.
Not too many weapons. It's like that. Right now, the Packers are like a boss of an 80s video game level where it's like they have the one move,
right.
The one club smash move, and you're like, all right, I just avoid the club smash move.
Sure.
And then I'm good to go. So
you sounded like a guy who was about to heckle a bad comic, but it's too nice to. He's like, the Packers.
I don't like, you know, they were very nice to me. I visited Lambeau Field this year. I got to go, and I watched the Packers destroy my beloved Broncos in Lambeau Field. Yeah. It's always amazing when you see Lambeau and all the history and one of the greatest stadiums that our great land has, and then you walk a block across the street, and there's just some guy in his underwear flipping a burger on his on his front yard. Like,
sure.
Oh, yeah, you want to come in for some cheese curd?
Sure. And
yeah.
It's 32 degrees
yeah,
out.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's
an
amazing experience.
Closed Catholic church across the street. It's impressive, Green Bay. Fire number three. What should Tom Brady do now that he's a free agent? Dare I say Broncos?
Oh, no. We got Drew Locke.
You want a guy there?
No!
To take him under. No. Because that's what Elway's been looking for. Is he likes to bring in those guys.
He likes to bring in the
Maybe
Peyton
brings
Mains
in Brady.
And the Joe Flaccos. And the, no, I don't want.
You don't want to see Tom Brady anywhere near the Broncos.
No, I'm done. I want to see Tom Brady as a Los Angeles Charger, so I know that
there's
that,
another win.
So that gives the Broncos two wins a year. That's what I want. Put them on the Chargers, or in if you want the story, put them on the Jets.
Oh,
put
brother.
Tom Brady on the Jets. You get to play New England twice a year.
Holy
try to
smokes.
Stick it to Belichick. Oh, that's what I would want.
Yeah.
Not
Ooh,
the
man. He won't go there.
Not the Dolphins, because you want to give them a chance.
Oh, no, the Dolphins are playing pretty good. They were right. Looking like the worst team in the league the first 4 weeks, and they were the joke.
Yeah.
They were the punchline. And then that coach, that guy there down there, that coach guy, he got him kind of playing pretty good. They played 500 the last eight, nine games.
Put him on any team in that division. Put him on Buffalo. Put him on Miami. Put him on the Jets. That's what I'm hoping for.
And then he just sits there on a headset and he tells you what's coming, what Belichick's going to do. Finally, fire number four. This is it. This is the prediction. Brad Williams.
Yes.
Who's winning the Super Bowl?
The Super Bowl this year, it's tough to pick against the Ravens. It really is. But, wow. You know what? I'm going to go against your pick. I'm going to say the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah.
They got
the defense.
I'm going to say Kyle Shanahan learns from his mistake of taking the foot off the gas against the Patriots when he was the offensive coordinator for the Falcons, and he just keeps it going the whole time.
Yeah, right.
I say the San Francisco 49ers.
And, let's call a spade here.
That's racist.
That is no. That's an old phrase. I'm 93 years old. Oh, God. I just lost my job. Hashtag. I don't even have a podcast anymore.
Check canceled. Hashtag check canceled.
Let's be real here, then. Let's phrase it that way.
Yes.
Kyle Shanahan, son of Mike Shanahan.
Yes.
Legendary Denver Broncos coach.
Yes.
You are biased.
I am.
That Fiery Four brought to you by Comatose. Catch a snack and a nap with Comatose. My guest today, the hilarious Brad Williams. Man, oh, man, oh, man. What a story. Him and his 2.5 to 3 days in the cradle of the Denver Broncos. And it nearly might have got kinky had he stayed another day. Follow Brad on Twitter at FunnyBrad. Go to BradWilliamsComedy.com for upcoming dates. Where are you going to be working? Because I know you're always working.
Yeah, I'm taking a month off for paternity leave, but in February I'm going to the Spotlight 29 Casino that's out there in Indio, California, near Palm Springs, playing that room, doing Flappers in Burbank in March, and there's dates for the rest of the year. So just go to BradWilliamsComedy.com. If I'm not coming to a city near you, wait. I'll be there.
And don't just go to the website, BradWilliamsComedy.com. Follow through! Go see him, for Christ's sake. Buy some tickets.
Yeah.
Trust me, you're going to be happy with your decision. Catch his podcast with the great Adam Ray about last night. Wherever podcasts are sold, find that one. And, of course, you got Netflix specials, so you're crushing it. Brad, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you always, Chet.
Follow me on Twitter at ChetWaterhouse and follow my comedian buddy at Real Jeff Cesario. Visit JeffCesario.com. He's got an album out soon. What Was I Thinking? On the 800-pound gorilla label. Jeff's with Brian Regan this weekend in Kennewick, Washington and Portland, Oregon. If you want more of me, Chet Waterhouse this weekend, I'll be in Turkey Fryer, Texas for La Crisscross. You've heard of lacrosse? This is La Crisscross. That's right. Two simultaneous lacrosse games, one north and south, one east and west. It is a Donnybrook. Don't forget, especially if you're bringing the kids, the stands are inbounds. This is Chet Waterhouse reminding you to play with pain.